Scripture reading this morning is found in 1 Peter. We'll read that chapter, 1 Peter chapter 1. Our text is found in verses 18 through 21. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. The text that we consider this morning is found in verses 18 through 21. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look forward to celebrating the Lord's Supper this morning, we rejoice in the truth of the gospel. Christ instituted the supper so that we could remind ourselves of that glorious truth that Christ has redeemed us, body and soul, from sin and death. Sydney confessed her faith this morning also in that same truth. She expressed that is the gospel she believes. And we also, by God's grace, have come to that knowledge that God has redeemed us, body and soul. And not only has He redeemed us, but having redeemed us, God is faithful and He continues that work in us, so that we have the hope of glory. He continues to show that same love to us that sent Jesus to the cross. He redeemed us from our vain conversation. He redeemed us because we could not redeem ourselves. We could not in any way take ourselves out of that bondage. But God in His love sent Jesus Christ into the world to redeem us, and therefore gives to us also that hope of heavenly glory. The more we see Christ's love for us, the more we rejoice that God has taken us into communion with Himself. And that's what we celebrate this morning as well. When we partake of communion, we celebrate that God has taken us into fellowship with Himself. Let's note this morning that theme then: redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. We are redeemed from our vain conversation. We are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And we are redeemed unto a glorious hope. Beloved, whenever we speak of redemption, that immediately implies the truth that we have been redeemed from bondage. That's the question that ought to come to our minds. As soon as we say redeemed, we ought to say redeemed from what? And that idea would have been familiar to the New Testament saints as they heard about that redemption, that is ours in Jesus Christ, they would understand that there were slaves. They would understand the picture of those who had been sold into bondage and needed to be redeemed. Normally with slaves, they needed to be redeemed with gold and silver. By the payment of a ransom, they could be redeemed out of the marketplace. But beloved, you and I have been redeemed not out of bondage, out of physical bondage, as a slave in those times would have been redeemed, but we have been redeemed from our vain conversation. The text talks about that vain conversation. Verse 18, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things out of your vain conversation. We were redeemed out of a conversation. What is that conversation? Our conversation is not talking about the words we speak. That might be the way we use that word today. But the word, as it is in our King James, refers to our way of life. It refers to our everyday behavior. And that conversation is described as a vain conversation. Our way of life was useless. It was utterly unable, because it was vain, it was unable to bring forth any good fruit. That conversation in which we were by nature was fruitless, and that it did not bring forth glory to God. Like bad trees, we were absolutely powerless to bring forth good fruit. It was a vain conversation. God has redeemed us out of that bondage, out of that vain conversation. Where did we get that vain lifestyle from? Where did we get that old man from? And the text declares that we received that vain conversation from our forefathers. The text says about that vain conversation, it was received by tradition from your fathers. That is to say, we inherited it from our forefathers. We inherited it from Adam, who rebelled against God in the garden and brought the whole human race into that vain conversation, so that we, by nature, carry that old man of sin. We carry that original corruption. And with that corruption, we were in horrible bondage. Christ redeemed us out of that horrible bondage. We ought to understand that we in ourselves could never have gotten ourselves out of that bondage. In ourselves, there was no hope of recovery from that bondage. No amount of effort on our part, no amount of silver or gold paid as a ransom could redeem us from that bondage. The text says, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Why cannot silver and gold redeem us out of that bondage? And the answer is because God's justice demands that a fair ransom price be paid. God's justice, the justice of a holy and righteous God, needs a fair payment. And simply to pay silver and gold could never approach a fair payment. The psalmist in Psalm 49 declares, "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious. It ceaseth forever." Take all the gold and all the silver in the whole world, and that could not satisfy the ransom. It could not satisfy God's justice for the sins that you and I have committed. By ourselves, there is no way to pay that ransom. But God has redeemed us. God has redeemed us by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And if you and I are to be thankful for that redemption, we must understand our hopeless position apart from Jesus Christ. We must understand our bondage apart from Jesus Christ. But praise be to God, He didn't leave us in our misery. What silver or gold could not accomplish, God, by His only begotten Son, accomplished with that precious blood that was poured out on the cross. You were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. That blood, beloved, when the text speaks of blood, it's speaking of the life of Christ. When it says His blood was poured out, when we were redeemed by that blood, it means Christ gave His very life. Because that's what God's justice demanded. If it was human life that rebelled against God, then it must be human life that makes the payment of the ransom. Jesus Christ had to be fully man in order that He might give human life to pay the ransom for our sins. And yet it wasn't enough that He be merely a human being. He was a human being, but He had to be more than a human being so that His blood would be precious, so that His life would be precious. He must be more than a human being. He had to be fully God as well. His blood had to be precious in order to satisfy the justice of God that was due for all of the sins of all of His elect people in the whole history of the world. Christ's blood, the life that He gave to redeem us, was precious because it was the blood of the Son of God. The blood of God the Son, as He was manifest in the flesh. His blood was precious. Because it was from such a glorious source, That in the first place, precious because it was the blood of the Son of God. But in the second place, we can think of that blood as precious because of what it accomplished. When the Son of God poured out His blood on the cross, it accomplished the payment of the ransom. The ransom for you, beloved, and the ransom for me, and the ransom for all the elect of Jesus Christ. Christ, by paying that ransom, took upon Himself the curse that we deserved and earned for us all the blessings of salvation. He was forsaken of God so that we could be taken into communion with God. Christ redeemed us out of slavery so that we could be taken into the fellowship of God as His children. God gave the picture of that in the Old Testament. The saints who first read this epistle understood that picture, the sacrifice of the Lamb. Thousands upon thousands of lambs sacrificed. Innocent lambs. Lambs without blemish, without any sort of broken bones, without any sort of injury, without any sort of sickness, as perfect of a lamb in the prime of its life, that those lambs were sacrificed as pictures of Jesus Christ. That's what our text is talking about when it speaks of this sacrifice of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Absolutely sinless, without any blemish or spot, giving Himself a sacrifice in our place on the cross. And that sacrifice, beloved, becomes all the more beautiful when we consider the love of God that gave that sacrifice. And that love of God didn't just become a reality during the history of the world, but in fact, that love of God is from eternity. I say that love becomes all the more precious when we consider that already in eternity, God had ordained Jesus Christ to be that sacrifice for us. That's how far back the love of God goes for us, all the way into eternity. That's the idea of the text when it speaks of Christ as, verse 20, being foreordained before the foundation of the world. Christ, God already determined that He would give His precious blood for you before you and I were even born. And that means, beloved, Christ, who was foreordained, becomes, or is rather, central to all of the history of the world. All of history serves the cause of Christ. All of history serves the cause of the love of God towards you and towards me. All of history serves the cause of bringing us into communion with our God. That's what we confess this morning when we partake of the Lord's Supper. That's what Sydney confessed as well in her confession of faith. Christ has redeemed us from our vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers. And knowing that, beloved, we also have a glorious hope. We have a hope that God is working out His orderly plan of salvation. Just as He foreordained Christ that He would be manifest in time, and God, by His orderly working in time, the perfect time, sent Christ into the world to accomplish our redemption. We see in that God is working to bring about our glorious hope. He sent Jesus Christ to pay the ransom. In time, He works in our lives, giving to us the Holy Spirit, the redemption that was accomplished on the cross is a redemption that is applied in our lifetime. Christ was manifested. Notice how the text describes that. Christ, who was, verse 24, ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. For you. God is working out His orderly plan of salvation for you. But the question arises, maybe, how do I know it was for me personally? I can say I know it was for His people. I know it was for His elect. But how do I know it was for me? How do I know that I am one of His elect? And the text gives the answer to that. Christ was manifest in these last times for you. And then it describes you. Who are the you for whom Christ was manifest? For you who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Christ was manifest for you who believe. We know that Christ was manifest for us because we believe. We believe all that God tells us in His Word. We believe what the Word tells us about ourselves as sinners, but we believe what God tells us about Jesus Christ. We believe because God, as He works out His salvation for us and in us, we believe because of His gracious work. He was manifest for you who, by Him, do believe. By His gracious work, we believe. We are sinners. We believe that only Christ could satisfy God's justice against us. We see the fruits of the Spirit in us. We see the result of Christ's work in us. Not that we have arrived yet, but we see a small beginning. We see a desire to live to the glory of His name. Christ was manifest in these last days for you who believe. We believe not only that He died to pay the ransom, we believe that God raised Him up from the dead. And we believe that Christ sits at God's right hand and rules over all things for our sakes. We believe the supper is for us who believe that God has redeemed us with that precious blood. And as He has redeemed us, and as He works in us the blessings of salvation, we believe also that He is preparing for us the glory of heaven. He has prepared that glory for us, and He will take us one day into that perfect communion that right now we have only a beginning of. But that's what we celebrate. Christ has redeemed us and will one day bring us into that perfect communion with Himself and all His people. Let's remember that as we celebrate the supper this morning. Amen.